Beloved, take now your Bibles and turn to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, we're reading this morning verses 1 through 9. Verses 1 through 9. Zechariah 12. And beloved, let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your perfect word. We thank you that you speak to us. And that you give us your Spirit to illumine our hearts and our minds to hear you. And to see your Son. And to comfort us. And encourage us in times of trouble. Father, we come to you this day seeking you. So Father, we pray that you would put off our sin. Put to death the selfishness, the pride, all that which is tempted to think on other things in this time instead of delighting in you and seeking our own pleasures. We pray that you would put all these things off and put on the righteousness of Christ as we listen to you. Give us ears to hear. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. So, Zechariah chapter 12, starting in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God. So give your attention to it now. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. In that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with bewilderment and his rider with madness. But I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. The clans of Judah, which literally the leaders of Judah, will say in their hearts, a strong support for us are the inhabitants of Jerusalem through the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot among pieces of wood and a flaming torch among sheaves. So they will consume on the right hand and on the left all the surrounding peoples. While the inhabitants of Jerusalem again dwell on their own sites in Jerusalem. The Lord also will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be magnified above Judah. In that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David. And the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And that is the word of the Lord to us. Matthew 16, Jesus tells us that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church. That's what the church will always, that is that the church will always be. It will always continue. It's not a promise to an individual congregation or to a particular denomination, but to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, all of God's people on earth. It will not fail. It will continue. It seems that there is, in our day, a growing sense of alarm amongst God's people, amongst us. We know that Christianity appears to be in decline in our nation, at least where we are. Yeah, beloved, are we among the church? Are we among the church believing or acting like, living as the church, as if it's going to fail? Are we believing acting like, living as the church is going to fail. Everything is getting worse and worse. We may be persecuted for the testimony we give when we talk about the law of God and certain public sin that we talk about. We may even worry about the government coming in force and perhaps shutting the doors of this building as we've seen in other countries. And even in our own nation. A few times, at least I've heard in the past year, those that meet in homes. But here's the question. If Jesus Christ says the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church, His church, what practical value does that have for you today, His people, who make up His church? That's what is answered here in the first 9 verses of chapter 12. The Lord will continue to preserve His church. The Lord is both able and willing to defend His church, and as we face the hostile environment in our day, as the government even breathes threats against us, this is one of the most essential truths of the Scripture about Yahweh that we must cling to, that the Lord is able and willing to preserve His church and defend it. We cannot act as though the governing authorities or the world outside or are the only forces at work in the world. Yet it is easy for us to do that. To think that what we see, the circumstances, that's what is the force. Now, that's what's at work. And we think that the events of history will just take a natural course. That things will keep going the way they are going. Now, beloved, we don't know. And we cannot know the future on that. The text before us reminds us that Yahweh is both able and willing to preserve His church. So the Lord does this first by His power. The first point, Yahweh is both willing and able to preserve His church by His power. By His power. The passage before us is a prophecy concerning Israel and Jerusalem, Judah. Verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And that word burden in verse 1 is exclusively, almost always exclusively introducing a verdict of judgment from the Lord. Yet clearly the text before us, Yahweh is not coming in judgment against Israel. But He's coming to protect Israel. We even see that in verse 9. And in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And He is in that saying at Judah and Israel. He's here to protect by His power. And so this is a burden, this is a judgment of the word of the Lord, not against Israel, but for Israel. The Lord is about to act, and He's going to do so on behalf of His people. We need to recognize also that Israel was the church in the Old Testament. This is where Yahweh preserved His people. The faithful, as they waited eagerly for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, what Yahweh promises to them here is, and the way that He designs and promises to preserve, govern, and protect them, He equally promises to us the continuation of the church now under Christ. And so the Lord is encouraging us here through His power as Creator. The middle of verse 1. Thus declares the Lord who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. And now these are, again, people who have an unfinished temple. Only the foundation has been laid. And they are in a city without walls, because we're going to learn later in Nehemiah, that's when they're building the walls. And they haven't built the walls yet. And that means what? That they're constantly in danger. A city without walls in that time period was in constant danger from their enemies. And it's the same for us. We're constantly in danger, threatened by the world, tempted to doubt by Satan, making us to think he will prevail over us and over Christ. And that is what he does is he takes the statements that are true about him in the Scriptures. He takes those statements that are true about him and he tempts us to think that those things are for the church and not him. And yet Yahweh says that he will crush Satan under our feet. that Satan will flee. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And yet all around us we hear the exact opposite. And we act as though everything is going to fall apart. And that thinking that we have had, you have had, I have had, is ungodly. The fact is though the Lord is not creator of the heavens and the earth. You find yourself in the situation, you're afraid, what's going to happen to our children, the grandchildren, even after we die? What's going to happen to them? That's a natural fear. Natural. Sinful fear. And yet also a godly fear. Concern for your children. Love for them. And yet there's a hint in there of a sinful fear. An anxiety. What are you to do? You look up. You look up into the sky and consider that the Lord stretched out the heavens. He stretched out the heavens. You look down, you look at the earth, and it's not some jumbled up mess. It's solid. God made this. He established those things. He put them in place. And they continue even to this day, thousands of years later. And so just as the Lord is showing in our passage, so it is being told to you. If this is your God, then there is nothing too difficult for Him. If this is your God who stretched out the heavens at creation, is His hand limited at all? His ability, is it hindered at all to protect the small, struggling church surrounded by enemies, which is persecuted? Is He limited in protecting? Is He not able to protect us? Not just as a congregation, but as a church worldwide. That's the first thing we always should look to. We cannot look first to our circumstances and predict the future of the church. You don't know where the church is going. You know the end. But you don't know what's going to happen next year, the year after that. You cannot look first at your circumstances. You cannot predict the future and of the church and even of this nation based on the circumstances. Do you not serve Yahweh, the God of heaven and earth, the sustainer of these things? Do you not serve the Lord who stretched out the heavens, who founded the earth, and even formed the Spirit within us, within each man? And so what he's saying here to Judah, to Israel, I am sovereign over Nebuchadnezzar. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? You were in exile under him. I am sovereign over King Cyrus of Persia who's oppressing you now. I form the spirit of man within him. He doesn't act on his own. He's not independent of me. I do what I please. I am the Lord of the President of the United States, says God. I am sovereign over the human heart and can show you favor, grace through your enemies. And I can take that grace away. The Lord says this, I am Almighty, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the maker of your soul. Therefore, do not fear, little flock. Do not fear the forces that stand against you, but rest upon the Lord. He unfolds now his teaching with two metaphors or three metaphors starting in verse 2. He says, behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. And so it's not simply the city of Jerusalem being talked about here that's under attack. It is the entire region, the nation of Judah, the people receiving this prophetic word from Zechariah. The world is assaulting the church. That's the peoples. You see that word peoples a few times throughout our passage. It's talking about the nations, the Gentiles, pagans, people of the world. The world is assaulting the church and none of the people are exempt. And none of the people in the church are exempt. The picture here is that the enemies are circling around a cup. The cup, it says, is Jerusalem, is Judah. God's people. And so the enemies are circling around the cup. They have surrounded them. The cup is full of wine. And as the world, the flesh, and the devil assault the church of God, instead of succeeding, what happens? They become drunk and incapacitated. Whatever foes assault you, I can defend you, the Lord is saying. They may overpower you, but I can send them away like reeling drunkards, staggering around, losing their sense and their minds. And He has done that before. With Nebuchadnezzar, if you remember Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, when he was claiming power, the Lord comes and He says to Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be driven out of the kingdom. And he loses his mind. He goes crazy. He does that. That's the same God that you serve today. He has not changed. Verse 3, the second metaphor. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. Now, some of you know what it's like to have back problems, or you strain your back. That's the metaphor Yahweh gives here. The enemies of the Lord and you, His people, He will cause them, the enemies, to be taken out. They're going to come against you. They're going to be like a person who has strained their back, lifting a heavy stone. Even this, what is, it seems here, an immovable stone. It's too heavy. And they lift it. And what happens when you lift too much weight with your back and you're not lifting with your legs? You strain your back and you... For some people, you have to go and lay in bed for a few days. You can't do anything. You're useless. And yet, literally, the wording of this serious injury here in our passage is really to be, it means to be cut to pieces. The stone is so heavy that the one who attempts to pick it up, the enemies who attempt to pick up this stone, Jerusalem, God's people, they will be destroyed. In Luke's gospel, it is Christ who is the stone who crushes into dust. But here the stone is the people, the church. Why does the Lord protect His church? Why does He guard you and care for you? It's because He has purchased you with the blood of His own Son. Because it's the righteousness of Jesus that overflows to us and overshadows us. And because God loves us as His children in Christ, we call Him our God. We look back. These people, we were looking forward to Christ. We look back to Christ. And what we truly learn here is that when someone assaults Christ, thinking of Luke's gospel with this passage, when someone assaults Christ, they assault His people. When they attack His people, they're attacking Him. Now, if you reject Christ, you have two options. Thinking of the imagery in Luke's gospel, I think it's Luke 16. You can either fall on the stone of Christ and be broken in your sin at great personal cost and be saved in Christ and redeemed by Him. But if not that, He, the stone, will fall on you and you will be ground into powder, just like this stone, Jerusalem, breaks these people's backs and destroys them into dust. When the world opposes the stone, Jerusalem, they will be destroyed. Not the church, but the world will be destroyed. Verse 4. In that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with bewilderment and his rider with madness, but I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the horses, you have an army in that time period, the horses were a strong part of the army. It was that way up until just a couple hundred years ago. Same thing. And Yahweh strikes these horses with blindness and their riders with madness. They can't do anything to oppose God's people. Yahweh says, I will watch over the house of Judah, over the church, but the world will be made blind. My eyes are open. He's showing here. My eyes are open. Theirs are closed. The Lord's eyes are open. The enemy's eyes are closed. The eyes of the Lord regard His people. He is watching over us right now. And He always is watching over us. He never stops. Even when we slumber or sleep, He's still there, keeping us, watching over us. And He's able to strike our enemies with blindness. And then verse 5, then the clans, which literally is the leaders of Judah, will say in their hearts, a strong support for us are the inhabitants of Jerusalem through the Lord of hosts, their God. Yahweh is the Creator. And because his almighty power, he can preserve easily all his people and keep his promise. And now this is saying at the end of the verse, is done by individuals within the leaders. Each leader, individually, each saying, I have strength in the Lord, I trust in Him, I will rest in the Lord of hosts, my God, my Lord. That's true of us today. We have the Lord's promise that He will protect and defend us and protect, preserve His people. But the question before you, each of you here today is, do you trust Him? You individually, do you trust Him? Do you embrace these promises for yourself? You cannot be saved because your parents believe. You must believe yourself. You must repent of your sins. You must come to Jesus yourself. What good are all the promises if they are for someone else and not you? Yahweh is promising to deliver the church when it seems impossible. And by God's design, He puts the church, in situations like this where it seems impossible that they will be delivered. And why does He do that? Where it seems impossible to survive, to show forth His power. Because He will preserve them, protect them, and defend them. The second point we see in verse 6, and very shortly, and that is that Yahweh is both willing and able to preserve His people by rebuilding the church. By rebuilding the church. Here's a picture of the leaders of Judah and their role in relationship to their enemies. Verse 6, in that day I will make literally the leaders of Judah like a fire pot among pieces of wood and a flaming torch among sheaves. So they will consume on the right hand and on the left all the surrounding peoples, while the inhabitants of Jerusalem again dwell on their own sites in Jerusalem. And so the enemies are surrounding God's people. That's again the picture we continue to have. God's enemies surround His people. But those enemies will be like stubble and chaff. They will be consumed with fire. And as the people pass through, the enemies pass through, it will ignite and catch fire and be burned up. But it isn't the leaders that do this. It is the Lord in His people. It is His presence within them. And the Lord is often shown in when His presence is brought out that He's a fire, consuming fire, the burning bush. It's His presence in His people that defends us. And yet He's also saying that He will establish us, His people, and give us victory. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem again will dwell on their own sites in Jerusalem. That is, Jerusalem will be built back up. It's not built. It's still kind of in it's rubble. It's still destroyed, basically. They've laid the foundation of the temple. They've, remember, sinfully built up their own homes, the cedar wood. And yet everything else is laying in ruins still. He will rebuild His church. Nothing can prevail against His church, but certainly He's also going to build her up and increase her and defend her. Do you trust in God who can rebuild to grow His church? Do you trust in the Lord who does extraordinary things? Do you trust in the Lord to do the unexpected and to come in the time when is least expected? The final point is that Yahweh is both willing and able to preserve His people, His church, by remembering covenant. Remembering the covenant. Verses 7 to 9, the Lord remembers His covenant with David. Verse 7, the Lord also will save the tents of Judah first. Those words sound familiar. The Lord also will save the tents of Judah first. When Israel went into Canaan the first time, they cast lots to see who should go up first to take on the enemies first, who would go into the land first. And God said, after they cast lots, God said, Judah shall go up first. And when the book of Judges began, they had not finished conquering the land yet, and so they cast lots asking, Lord, who shall finish conquering the land? And He responded again, Judah shall go up first. And there may be a correlation with that here. The Lord saying, I will give salvation to the tribe of Judah first, just as I did before. It will be just as spectacular and extraordinary. He is talking to a people who are Judah. He's talking to a people who are about to rebuild the walls under Nehemiah. Your dwelling places that you're living in now, they will be preserved. There's no wall. There's no wall to protect you, and your homes could be easily destroyed. But he says your homes will be preserved. I will defend you even though you don't have that wall. But even though your homes, which are as good as tents against any army, with no wall, their homes are just like tents. You can destroy them very easily as an army. But have no fear. You don't have to go protect yourselves. You have me, the Lord Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. So verse 7, the Lord also will save the tents of Judah first. So the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be magnified above Judah. He's saying the blessing that I will give is for the whole church. It's not just for a select group of the church. It's for the whole church, for all the people, not just the line of David. Not just the inhabitants of Jerusalem. But the protection as Lord and Creator that I'm promising belonging to all of you, and all of you must trust in me because of them. My promises, says the Lord. His promises belong to all of God's people. Verse 8. In that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the one who's feeble among them in that day will be like David. The Lord will be a giant shield and fortress around his people. If you have an invading army coming at you and they're shooting their arrows, and you want this larger shield than just a small, you want a big shield to cover your whole body. And God is saying, that's what I am. I'm this huge shield. He is your shield. And he's your exceedingly great reward, he says. He will protect the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David. I will take even the weakest among you, the church, and make you strong. David, the king, the best king you ever had. He embodied my promises to send my son, Jesus, through his offspring to save you. And the weakest among you will be like David. And the house of David will be like God. And the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And we know the angel of the Lord is the Lord, which is shown here in our passage. So that the house of David will become not so that the house of David will become God or like God in the way that they would have the eternal, infinite attributes of God. That's not what's being said here. But in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord led Israel into the promised land of Canaan. Still continuing on that promised land in Canaan. He led the way before them. He is the commander of the Lord's host that appears in Joshua 5, who says, take off your shoes for the place where you stand is holy ground. That was said at the burning bush as well. The angel of the Lord said in that presence of Joshua, take off your shoes and bow before me. Again, the angel of the Lord is Yahweh. And so David won't become divine or take on divine attributes, but he will fulfill the role of the directing angel. Yahweh, who is present in their midst in the person of the angel of the Lord, no one could stand before him. All the testimony that we've seen in Genesis, we've seen in Joshua, Samuel, of the angel of the Lord, nobody could stand before him. His enemies fled before him. And now he's saying, I'll take the descendants of David, who haven't sat on the king's throne for over 70 years, and I'll make him like the angel of the Lord. Like the angel of the Lord. Not as having divine attributes, but like that person where their enemies cannot stand before them. No one will stand before my people. They will all fall. And that's showing that he's remembering the covenant with David. The anointed of the Lord, the coming king. He remembers him. He'll make him unstoppable. And in a real and true way, the Lord could have said here, that descendant of David, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, will take on human flesh. He's the angel of the Lord. He will lead my people. He's the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, and he will reign on the throne. The divine angel will walk with you. He will walk with you. In verse 9, in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Not one of the enemies will stand before you. You will be preserved. You will be defended. You will be protected. And so what are we to do now? How are we to think of the church today in our present time? We must know and we must believe that Yahweh is both willing and able to protect us. He can do so because He stretched out the heavens. He laid the foundation of the earth. He even formed us spirits within us, our spirits, our souls. He's the Creator. Can He not protect us against an assaulting government and persecuting world? Can He not preserve us? Can He not spread the gospel? This isn't only about defense. It's also about offense. The word going out. Often when we think of what Jesus says, the gates shall not prevail against the church, we think defensively. That is, that the gates of Hades cannot attack the church. We will be, as a church, we will be defended against that attack from the gates of Hades. That's true in some sense. But the meaning there is not primarily defensive, like the church is being defended. It's the other way around. Because gates are what? They're not offensive weapons, are they? They're defensive weapons. They're like the city wall to keep out an invading army. But the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church. That is, that Christ with His church will prevail against the gates of Hades. In Hades, all evil, even Satan, will be defeated. God's word will even go in some sense, and prevail, and sinners will be called, even from the grips of Satan in Hades. They'll be called out, just like you were. And they will come to Christ and believe. He is the Creator. He rebuilds us as a flaming torch in the midst of our enemies. He remembers His covenant with David. And He has remembered that covenant, that the Son of David is sitting on the throne right now. Jesus Christ reigns, the King of all kings, reigning in heaven. And we are present with Him in our worship now. He leads us in our present situations. In light of all these things, we ought to rejoice in our weaknesses. My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Do you believe that in your weakness, the power of God will be displayed? Look at the weakness of the church, and seeing that weakness means what? It's a time to lament. And often we are good or okay at lamenting, probably complain more than lament. Sinfully complain. But it's the perfect time to lament and be sorrowful over the weakness of the church today. And yet at the same time, it's a perfect opportunity to speak the word, to go on the offensive. It's not even the gates of Hades can prevail against the rock, Jesus Christ, and the confessing of Him, as Peter did in Matthew 16. Who knows what the Lord will do next? Who knows how the Lord will choose to display His power, even through weak people like us, the church? Let us rejoice that we are in a position where the Lord casts us back to believing in the all-powerful, rebuilding, church-keeping covenant Lord. Will you not go forth from Him from here then, trusting in Him? Not trusting in yourself and you're looking at the circumstances and seeing, well, it's just going to be bad from here on out. The Lord can do great things. Will you not storm the gates of heaven in prayer? In worship, at prayer meeting, in your homes, at work, until the Creator, the Sustainer of the church remembers His covenant, turns back His enemies and blesses His church and spreads His gospel. Also, finally, we must persevere. We long for safety and peace and prosperity, and we will get it, but not here and now. In the world you will have tribulation, but rejoice, because I, Jesus, have overcome the world, He says in John's Gospel. You'll never have a church that is free of persecution. So let us trust in the Lord who protects His church, because He is the God of creation. The God who rebuilds and strengthens His church, and the God who remembers His covenant will never be unfaithful to that promise, those promises. And He is the one who is with us today. He's with us, with those people in Zechariah's days with us no different. He is present, and therefore all his enemies will fall before us. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise you and thank you for your power, that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And by the word of your power, you spoke the creation into existence out of nothing. Lord, cause us to remember that. We can remember, as in the sense that people would ask us who made the earth, we would say, God made the earth, he created all things. Father, cause us to remember it in our hearts and live accordingly. Never forgetting that the one who builds the church, who rebuilds the church and continues to strengthen the church is the God, the Lord, Yahweh Almighty. Lord, cause us to remember this, that he will preserve us. He's willing and able to preserve us and defend us and protect us. And he does so. He's not only willing and able, but he does it. We thank you, Lord, that that is true. Lord, cause us to remember and believe such things. And that he's always faithful. You're always faithful to keep your covenant. Now, you've already kept your covenant and you've put Christ on the throne. Cause him to reign forever and ever. Hey, we will be in him, reign with him, and the enemies will fall before us. That your gospel would go forward and people would hear and be brought out of the grips of hell and death and granted life forever. Father, these are our prayers. Hear us, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.